Blog Talk Radio.
Kane is in the building.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Fail policy after fail policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
I'm always wondering what the founders, what they thinking. Where's our Washingtons, our Thomasins, our Jeffersons and Lincolns? Why you at the red carpet club partying and drinking? The USS Liberty is steadily sinking. So let me tell you what's really going on. Hope and change is code for your liberty's gone. Yes, we can. Propaganda for a socialist song. You need to realize he's breaking America's bond. It's planned all along, and you need to realize that winning the future is just a future full of lies. He's wearing a disguise, let it drill in the gold. Because behind the sheep clothing, we know that you're just a woke.
All
right.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
The heart of a coward caught in foreign policy forgets we are endowed by your creator, no apology. Rule more like a king when we were just some colonies of patriots on Mars, creating the greatest following, especially with the president like Barack Hussein, who proved he'd rather be playing a golf game than take care of the lame, the sick and heavy laden. Instead of helping Libya, he just spit on the nation. But what can you expect from a FDR clone with no guts? You lost our trust, you ain't got a backbone. Chicago is your home, it shouldn't be DC. We the people speaking up, tell me can you hear? We alright.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
Barack is soon to set sail. Vote for all is just hope and fail. I'd rather have a tax break in any light rail. Uphold it, you can stick to with word from his campaign trail. His issue with integrity, it is very evident. Guantanamo being only one piece of the evidence. Flip-flops to D.C. would be a nice sentiment. Come this election, I hope we change the president, all right.
All over the world, Obama keep bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keep bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
Woo, hey, here we are once again, back, oh yeah, by popular demand, by me, July 19th, 2011, beautiful Washington, D.C., the United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. Okay, here's the deal. I don't like to do every single show back to 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 back, talking about our insane, incompetent president. But it just so happens that dude is in the news right now, so I don't really have much of a choice. And he's clowning and behaving, you know, Rush Limbaugh, my main man and yours, called it. He called it two nearly 2.5 years ago when he said that Barack Obama would get fed up one day and just say, damn it, I'm running this country and we are going to have my socialist policies in place. That's the way it is. I'm king. This is how we're going to roll. Eat your peas and take off the Band-Aid and drink your Slurpee and help me get the car out of the ditch and you won't get the keys back. So, in the wake of the astounding and astonishing shellacking that Barack Obama and his party took last November that resulted in a whooping, a spanking, a shellacking, I remain appalled. Yes, appalled over our president's refusal to acknowledge the American people's rejection of his destructive policies. What is shocking and appalling is that the president of the United States did not seem to hear what America was saying. They did not smell what America, he does not smell what America is cooking. And they're cooking up a little dish called Obama Go Home Stew. Goulash. Not only does he refuse to listen to the voice of the people, he has the unmitigated gall. That's another word for saying he's got balls as big as church bells. And arrogance to insist that he will only accept a compromise or partial compromise. Just a tiny little compromise, maybe, maybe not, in the debt ceiling issue. And that he wants to raise taxes on the millionaires and billionaires. You know, those people making $250,000 a year. Obviously, the guy can't count. Oh, and the corporate jet owners, class warfare. Who's falling for that? Anybody these days? It's this arrogance. This refusal to understand. The lack of experience, defiance of the American people's wishes and his Marxist goals and policies that qualify him for the title as the most destructive and dangerous president in history. No, not FDR, not Calvin Coolidge. Mm-mm. Not even Harry S. Truman, whom attempted to disband the United States Marine Corps, saying that we were just merely a police force, just before it all went down in a little place called North Korea. The Marine Corps pulled South Korea's and Truman's butt out of the fire, and all of a sudden, the word went out that they would be a Marine Corps for another 1,000 years. At that point, I considered Truman to be quite possibly the worst president, but no. It's Barack Hussein Obama. What doesn't Obama get? The American people have clearly spoken and given him and Congress their marching orders. He has only one goal, direction and solution that he must now pursue and accomplish without compromise. Leave the tax situation where it is. Repeal that health care entitlement program. Drastically and immediately cut the size and spending of this government across the board at least 10%. Everybody, even defense. and reshuffle his administration and team of advisors. Well, they're jumping ship as it is, like they're on the Titanic. Get some experienced, non-Marxist socialist people who fully understand how to implement this task and the required changes necessary to stimulate our economy. Create a conducive business environment and job market. Oh, yeah, and while he's at it, while I'm dreaming, have Congress replace the current IRS with a fair or flat tax system. All right. Although his power may have been severely limited as a result of the election, it still remains incumbent upon the American people to prevent any further damage to our nation caused by this man's policies. We've got to terminate his presidency in the 2012 elections. Richard Martin states military, not defense. Here's the thing, Richard. We cut defense across the board, defense spending, but certainly not our military. Certainly not the tools they use to get the job done. You know, I am a student of military history. Indeed, I consider myself to be world-renowned in the era of military history. And one doesn't have to be a certified, bona fide world expert in military history to understand this. After World War I, the first thing that was cut was the military. Then along came World War II, when military men were training with broom handles to simulate rifles. We were unprepared. Then politicians didn't learn twice. They didn't learn. Along comes Korea. The whole military, completely unprepared, but fought valiantly. Completely. Draw down again. No, don't draw down the military. It's disastrous, and it costs lives when we do, or when we have done so. But at least trim some of the fat. And there's a lot of fat to trim, I'll tell you that right now. Now, I want to go back. I want to take you all back to a simpler time, a time of great prosperity, a time of joy and happiness. Yeah, that time is just before Barack Obama was elected president. Fox Business, which I am riveted by, as if it were a slasher movie, as if it were a King Kong, or as if it were Gone with the Wind, as if it were my favorite movie of all time, Death Takes a Holiday. I'm riveted by Fox Business. And here, as candidate Obama prepares to reach the summit of American politics, there is debate among the Fox Business analysts as to what Obama will do with regard to business once he assumes, or if he assumes office, which we all know that he did. They debated whether or not the president or the candidate at the time would be bad for business. Now, listen, if you will, to the prophecy here. It's amazing. It's almost like I'm taking you back to Ayn Rand's book, Atlas Shrugged. So listen, please, because I know perhaps a lot of you didn't watch this particular Fox Business segment. But listen to it and let me know who, or call in and let us know who you think was right here. Who laid it down? Who called it just right? Because we're going to talk about it. As soon as I can get the clip to play.
Where do you draw the line between the proper role?
Hold on, that's the wrong one. Well, I tell you what. While I get that one going, we're going to go to Steve Wynn here and listen to Steve Wynn crush Obama.
Where do you draw the line between the proper role of government in all of this and the proper role of the private sector?
Government has never increased the standard of living of one single human being in civilization's history. For some reason, that simple truth has evaded everybody. The only thing that creates an increased standard of living is giving someone a job, the demand for their labor, whether it's you and I, Chris, or anybody else. The people that are paying the price for this juggernaut of federal spending are the middle class and the working class of America. And soaring rhetoric and great speeches with or without a teleprompter aren't going to change the truth. And the truth is, the biggest enemy, the biggest obstacle that working middle class America has is government spending.
Let me bring in Governor Granholm, who looks like she wants to come out of her seat at this.
Well, I mean, it's just so simplistic to say that, with all due respect. I mean, to say that government has never created a job or increased the standard of living. You know, I mean, there are a lot of people who are grateful that in this country we have a minimum wage. There are a lot of people who are grateful that they have access to Medicare and Medicaid. And I hope that we get access further to additional health care for those who are right now uninsured. I mean, there is a balance here. To say that government is all evil, this is a democracy. It's the greatest country in the world. We happen to have a lot less government than many other countries do. But I'm telling you, to say that there is no role for government is just, I mean, it's just...
Chris, can I make a point?
I didn't say that.
Chris, Mr. Zandi, I promise I'm going to get you in, but go ahead, Mr. Wynn.
I didn't say that at all. I'm saying that the source of government revenue, the source of well-being in this country, is employment. That allows companies to pay taxes, employees to pay taxes. That's the source here, and it's gotten out of focus.
I agree. I agree with you.
Okay, that's my point, Governor. I'm not making any other point, and believe me, ma'am, I've got 20,000 employees. I've had as many as 150,000 families that I've been self-insuring. There's nothing simplistic about my approach to this problem.
All right, let me bring in Mark, the decisions that private businessmen like Steve Wynn have to make.
Yeah, good point. Just one other thing about government and the role of government. I agree with Mr. Wynn that in most times, normal times, the government should stay out of the way, that the private sector should be allowed to do what it does, because it's historically done a very, very good job.
As a businessman with 20,000 employees, I want to ask you the question I just asked Mark Zandi. As you look at cap and trade and health care reform and these huge deficits, how does that factor into your balance sheet and the investments you make? And let me add into that the falling dollar. You're a big investor in building casinos and resorts in China. So how does all that factor into your business decisions?
Well, health care, something I know about, is a complicated technical issue for which practically everybody in this administration has absolutely zero experience. It was not a priority. Job creation was the priority from the day that this president was inaugurated. It has been eclipsed by a technical, confusing conversation in which hardly anybody has read the small print on a thing called health care. That's a proper subject, along with infrastructure, for a healthy economy. But infrastructure and health care are things that come later. Right now, our concentration should be on job creation.
But you're not answering my question, Mr. Wynn, and that is,
I'm sorry.
As a businessman, how do these things factor into you making a decision as to whether to invest more or invest less, whether to go into China or not to go in?
I'm grateful that I'm in China generating foreign currency, But my decision, I hired, I'm the only one in Nevada so far, I hired 5,000 people this year. My return on investment is not exactly handsome. I've never laid off anybody in 40 years. But if this president and this administration and Nancy Pelosi get their way, I and all other employees, like employers like myself, will be hit with my employees with a barrage of taxes that will result in more layoffs that will not be helpful and will be counterproductive to the very goal that we should have as a nation. Punishing attitude, take it to the government. We know what's best. I don't think they do. I think these are complicated subjects. Job creation, the chance to build more cars comes from people having a job. Focus on that simple truth. Simple truths hold institutions together. We've lost our focus, and that's my opinion.
Well, thank you all so much. Governors Granholm and Daniels, Steve Wynn and Mark Zandi, thank you all for coming in today.
All right. Does anyone agree? Anyone at all? The call-in number is 347-884-8500. Why is it really smart people like Marco Rubio come out and they say, hey, even if we tax every single millionaire and billionaire 100% of their income, we wouldn't make even a noticeable dent in the deficit? Why is it that when successful businessmen like Steve Wynn come out and state the facts, the obvious economics, capitalism 101, people aren't listening? How is it that Barack Obama knows best? Clearly he doesn't. Why does this guy even have even moderately good poll numbers? I'll tell you why. And I'll tell you why right here and right now. I spoke with a liberal today. That's right. I spoke with a liberal today. And I explained to my liberal friend that Obama has spent more in the short time he has been in office than all other presidents combined. And for that, I received a blank stare, as if nothing was really going on. The wheels weren't turning. I then stated that Barack Obama wants to take money that I earned, hard-earned money that I earned, through taxes and give it to someone else. Still, a blank stare. I then stated that Ayn Rand wrote a book in 1957. The initial title was The Strike. Her husband suggested a new title, Atlas Shrugged. She followed his advice, and I'm glad she did. And then Atlas Shrugged was born. So, in the novel Atlas Shrugged, the gist of it is that businesses went on strike. Businesses were sick and tired of being exploited. Massive regulation, massive amount of taxes, overregulation over taxes. They decided that they were going to go on strike and bring the wheels of commerce, the wheels of capitalism, to a screeching halt. Isn't that what we see happening right here and right now, Richard, Karen, Billy, Wahoo, GGT, all the guests? Isn't that what we're seeing right here and right now? Isn't that what Steve Wynn just said? Ask yourselves this. How is it that a novel that was written in 1957, published in 1957, probably written a year before that, is so relevant today. Today. Not today as in this decade, but today, July 19th, 2011. When you hear Steve Wynn is just the tip of the iceberg. He's just the beginning. There are more Steve Wynns out there who are saying that they're afraid of this guy and they're holding back. Now, before I heard Steve Wynn say this in an audio, I said to my liberal friend, what we're seeing here today, my liberal friend, is businesses going on strike. I mentioned Ayn Rand. I mentioned Atlas Shrugged. I explained to my liberal friend that we're seeing a modern day, real life version of Atlas Shrugged playing out before our very eyes. Once again, I heard crickets chirping inside the person's head. There was nothing. It was, oh no, I did receive a response. Well, isn't that what the government has always done? Collect taxes so that they could pay for things? Duh. Okay. At that point, I simply gave up. Because, like most liberals, they cannot be reached. They have to come to the conclusions, these conclusions themselves. You can't talk to a liberal and say, and give them logic and facts. Not at all. Not at all. Logic and facts are the enemy for liberals. It just won't work. Now, as soon as I get my Fox Business bashing audio up, I'm going to play it. And you'll be astounded. I mean, really astounded. It's amazing, folks. It is truly amazing. In the meantime, we're going to play Steve Wynn once again. And we're going to listen to his most recent comments regarding Barack Obama. We'll be back in just a minute.
But I'm afraid to do anything in the current political environment in the United States. You watch television and see what's going on this debt ceiling issue. And what I consider to be a total lack of leadership from the president, and nothing's going to get fixed until the president himself steps up and wrangles both parties in Congress. But everybody is so political, so focused on holding their job for the next year that the discussion in Washington is nauseating. And I'm saying it bluntly that this administration is the greatest wet blanket to business and progress and job creation in my lifetime. And I can prove it. And I could spend the next 3 hours giving you examples of all of us in this marketplace that are frightened to death about all the new regulations. Our health care costs escalate, regulations coming from left and right, a president that seems, you know, that keeps using that word redistribution. Well, my customers and the companies that provide the vitality for the hospitality and restaurant industry in the United States of America, they're frightened of this administration. and it makes you slow down and not invest your money. Everybody complains about how much money is on the side in America. You bet. And until we change the tempo and the conversation from Washington, it's not going to change. And those of us who have business opportunities and the capital to do it are going to sit in fear of the president. And, you know, a lot of people don't want to say that. They say, oh, God, don't be attacking Obama. Well, this is Obama's deal. And it's Obama that's responsible for this fear in America. The guy keeps making speeches about redistribution. And maybe we ought to do something to businesses that don't invest, they're holding too much money. You know, we haven't heard that kind of talk except from pure socialists. Everybody's afraid of the government. And there's no need, you know, soft-pedaling it. It's the truth. It is the truth. And that's true of Democratic businessmen and Republican businessmen. And I am a Democratic businessman, and I support Harry Reid. I support Democrats and Republicans. And I'm telling you that the business community in this country is frightened to death of the weird political philosophy of the President of the United States. And until he's gone, everybody's going to be sitting on their thumbs.
Can it get any plainer than that? You're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Report. Can it get any plainer than that? I mean, I don't want to beat an extremely dead horse. But didn't Ayn Rand talk about this? She's just a novelist. Now, she was a screenwriter in Hollywood for a while, but she's just a novelist. That's all. No more than Gore Vidal, one of my personal favorite novelist. No more than Truman Capote or Ernest Hemingway. Just a novelist. But she talked about this in 1957. She wrote about it. There's a book, one of the five most popular books in the country, in the world. There's a movie, Chapter One, the first part one of Atlas Shrugged. It'll be out on DVD shortly. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it? Isn't it interesting that we have to, what's playing out before our eyes right here and now is actually something from a novel, a work of fiction, put out in 1957. Steve Wynn could be Taggart, Mr. Taggart. Steve Wynn could be John Galt. All characters in the novel. It's amazing. It's creepy. It's eerie. It's astounding that this is all taking place under the watchful eye of our anointed one, Barack Hussein Obama. Businesses scurrying, running for cover, not hiring. Amazing. I don't know, guys. One wonders where this is all going.
This is,
you know, let's try to understand this. Let's try to understand this. Steve Wynn said his customers and the companies he works with are frightened of this administration. He said it makes you slow down and not invest your money. Everybody complains about how much money is on the side in America. Now, for those of you who have not read Atlas Shrugged, what occurs in the book is simply this. Businesses are tired of being overtaxed and overregulated, and so they go on strike. Businesses go on strike. Not people, not unions within the businesses, but the businesses themselves cease business. The country comes, and the global economy comes to a screeching halt because businesses are tired of being taken advantage of by the looters, which is what they're called in the book. So now contrast what I just said with what Wynn just said. He said, and I'll quote, "And it makes you slow down and not invest your money. Everybody complains about how much money is on the side in America. Until we change the tempo and the conversation from Washington, it's not going to change." All right. So now, Wynn is saying, in effect, you'll get no more of our jack, not a dime. We're not hiring anybody. It's game over until you shut your mouth and stop whining about the haves versus the have-nots, or the corporate jet owners versus the folks who don't have corporate jets. Or those fortunate CEOs who punched every single ticket in perfect order in order to position themselves in life so that they could make the most money they can legally, take care of them, their families, for generations to come if necessary, working 14, 18 hours a day, starting out in the mail rooms most cases. Or take one of my favorite guys, the owner, the creator of Wendy's, Mr. Thomas, who worked for Colonel Sanders, Kentucky Fried Chicken outlets, worked in the kitchens, managed several stores all at once, slept in the kitchen on a cot, worked 18, 19 hours a day. Worked his butt off. Not a high school education. Not a GED until he was well in his 60s. But worked hard. Dave Thomas is the man I'm talking about. And branched off from the Colonel and started his own fast food restaurant. Named it after his daughter, Wendy's. Wendy. A colossal success, a huge success. But what would Barack Obama do? Honor him with the Medal of Freedom or something? No. Barack would say, "Well, Dave, so what if Dave were still here? So what you worked 18, 17 hours a day, slept in a hot, greasy kitchen, missed time out with your family, friends, really didn't get a chance to enjoy life until later on, and even still worked yourself so hard that you died of a massive coronary. So what? Give me my money. Give me my money. I will decide, me, Barack Hussein Obama, how much money you're allowed to keep. Because I, Barack Obama, believe that at some point, you've made enough money. Can anybody say dictator? Can anybody say or hearken back to what the founders fought against? The exact reason why we're no longer a part of Great Britain? It's because of this kind of talk. It's because of this kind of behavior. And this guy still enjoys decent poll numbers. Is this Alice in Wonderland? Are we living in fairyland or Barack Obama land? What the hell? Take a listen.
Study economics. A free economy will not break down. All depressions are caused by government interference.
That we should strip away regulations, consumer protections, let the market run wild, and prosperity would rain down on all of us. It hasn't worked out that way.
The cure is always offered so far to take more of the poison that caused the disaster.
And so now we've got to take some decisive action. This plan's one reason that mortgage interest rates are now at near historic lows. To that end, we've launched a program designed to support the markets for more affordable auto loans, student loans, and small business loans, a program that's already securitized more of this lending in the last week than in the last 4 months combined.
Depressions are not a result of a free economy. Labor leaders get together to initiate legislation to help labor. That is only acting on the same principle, namely all parties agreeing that it is proper for the state to legislate in favor of one economic group or another.
Middle class need a rescue package. It means help for homeowners so that they can stay in their homes. It means that we are helping state and local governments set up road projects and bridge projects. You need somebody working for you, and you've got to have somebody in Washington who's thinking about the middle class and not just those who can afford to hire lobbyists.
The country is run by majority rule through ballot, and that majority seems to prefer to vote for this modified welfare state.
Oh, I don't believe that. You know as well as I do that the majority today has no choice.
As President of the United States, Alan, I would order the Secretary of the Treasury to immediately buy up the bad home loan mortgages in America.
The second step we took was to launch a plan to stabilize the housing market. Yesterday, Secretary Geithner announced a new plan that will partner government resources with private investment to buy up the assets that are preventing our banks from lending money.
What do you mean?
The majority has never been offered a choice between controls and freedom.
Until we stabilize home values in America, we're never going to start turning around and creating jobs.
The strategy to create jobs?
Fixing our economy.
That's why we put in place a comprehensive strategy designed to attack this crisis on all fronts. But we must remember that we can get there if we travel that road as one nation, as one people.
Is that not true?
No, it isn't. This country was made not by robber barons, but by independent men, by industrialists who succeeded on sheer ability.
And having...
By ability, I mean without political force, help, or compulsion.
Was Ayn Rand right? Of course she is. Of course she's right. You know, but Barack Obama, you know, here, listen for a moment. When code word for as one country.
Barack Obama,
well, listen to this.
Up in the polls, still coming down.
Listen to this
on corporate America.
History.
Like someone here says,
I finally got the Fox Business
could be in trouble if we see Obama in the
thing
White House.
Going here.
A
listen to it, please.
A very heated debate is on deck. Barack Obama putting corporate America in the crosshairs. The White House hopeful bashing business for big profits and calling for more government oversight. All right, Gary B., would a President Obama be friend or foe to capitalism in America?
He would be an enemy of capitalism, and I'll tell you why, Brenda. One, you know, he wants to spend, $100 billion here, $200 billion, for example, on the, you know, these green jobs. He's not creating jobs. All he's doing is moving the money out of the private sector and into the public sector. So he's giving it a government mandate. It's kind of like, you know, the economy via central planning. And we know the government is inefficient in almost everything they do. So there's nothing new here created. The other problem is you have businesses now always looking over their shoulder. Is it oil industry that's going to be tapped for their profits? Is it going to be the pharmaceutical industry? And what happens when you're looking over your shoulder? You have a lot less incentive to invest, do R&D, and quite frankly, to make as much money as possible. I think he would be a failed FDR.
Well, you know, actually, history shows us that this doesn't work. Price control's been there, done that.
It's easy for you to say. Look, the thing is, first off, the guy's dad is a Harvard economist, right? So that already sort of makes me suspect. But beyond this, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce comes out and votes him to zero on a 1 to 100 zero. He comes out and says he's going to change NAFTA and make it so that we're going to protect the workers in Mexico and other countries. He already voted for this one in Peru, which says that
You're talking about trading treaties.
Yeah, trading
here.
But, I mean, trade is really the future of the United States. And if you come in and become this protectionist, and, oh, by the way, we're going to, like, keep the sandals on the kids guy and take all the economics out, this is not the guy you want if you're in pro-business.
Well, but, Pat, we know from history also that a lot of times in the primaries, candidates will veer to the left. It makes sense. And then, you know, their promises don't always turn into reality when they're president.
Yeah, I think I wait till whoever gets elected actually has a policy to freak out or not. I think it's kind of going back.
You don't have to wait.
He's freaking out now, doesn't he?
I know. Well, I think it's worth kind of going back, and let's remember a couple of examples here. Let's remember, you know, Clinton ran very left, came in, did NAFTA, which, you know, annoyed the left to no end. And then we have, when one of the Bushes came in, and, he puts protectionist trade policy in to support the steel industry. So the point is that what you do and what you say on the campaign trail can be very different than what happens once you get into office. And so I say, we'll just wait and see.
Okay, so putting controls on prices, bashing CEOs and all that, we have tried it before. What have we learned from that?
Well, let me just take you through a couple of numbers real quickly. Healthcare plan, $240 billion over the 4 years. Energy plan, $30 billion. Tax return plan, $340 billion. A few other satellite plans. He's up to almost $900 billion he wants to spend, and he's going to pay for that through, what's he going to do? Raise taxes, obviously. Our whole GDP is only $14 trillion. He's almost at $1 trillion already. And by the way, you don't do it by cutting spending elsewhere. You do it by raising taxes, and that's what he plans to do. That's bad for everybody, not just the rich. That's bad for everybody.
Scott, bad for business? I mean, can business handle this?
Well, listen, he might be the classic left-wing politician that appeals to a populist, you know, voting bloc, but the bottom line is we've seen very little. You're throwing out numbers, $300 billion, $600 billion. We have not seen anything in his plans to really tell us how he feels about American business, other than he wants to get rid of the Bush tax cuts and he wants some type of health care plan.
Well, he wants to take a look at the subsidies to the oil companies.
Hey,
he wants
Wait a second. What's wrong with looking at subsidies at oil companies? What's wrong with looking at subsidies for farmers? We need to look at some of these things. Now, I'm not saying that this guy is the greatest guy and I'm going to vote for him. All I'm saying is we've seen nothing yet that is going to hurt American business. American business is way too big for
one guy.
$100 billion of new program.
And here we are just spending $200 billion on a stimulus package. Is that, what's your point?
That's not the point here, Blyer. We're talking about Obama.
All right, last point, Gary B. You go ahead and take this one on. I know you're waiting for it.
Well, listen, I'd be all in favor of the central planning economy if I could point to more than, say, three government programs that worked more efficiently than the private sector did. They've already proven they can't mandate education. They failed at health care. They failed at Social Security. Roads are falling down. So, I mean, this $200 billion you're going to spend on the green program, for example, you're trying to tell me the government can do that better than the private sector? I just don't think so.
Look, all politicians want to spend money. It doesn't matter whether they're Democrat or Republican. So here you have a guy who he talks nice. We don't know anything about him yet. We don't know anything about him yet.
They don't all have to pay for it the same way.
Yeah. All right, thanks. You
know
what?
We know a lot about him right now, don't we, folks? We know a lot about him right now, don't we? Now, what you just heard was Fox Business analyst talking about then-candidate Barack Obama and their concern over his business bashing rhetoric. One not too astute and bright panelist said, "We don't know what this guy's going to do. He talks one way, but once he gets into office, things are going to change. Reality is going to set in. All candidates talk about what they want to do, but once they get into office, it's a different thing." And the other Fox business analysts are saying, this guy's bad for business. He's going to ruin the economy. This guy's bad for business. This guy's bad for America. Who was right here? Now, who was right? This is why I love Fox News, fair and balanced. This is why I love Fox Business. I leave it on in the background while I'm sleeping. If I'm going to lay down here in my office and take a nap, I'm putting Fox Business on in the background. Fox Business is why I'm hiding my check from Obama, because I've made a ton of it from two sources, from Fox. Glenn Beck told me about gold when it was at a thousand an ounce. It's 1,600 an ounce now. Fox Business, Stock Watch. Pick all the right stocks. I tell you what, Fox Business called it with this guy. Fox Business called it when he was a candidate. This guy is bad for business. That's the story here. And before any of my liberal listeners, I have to start saying that Steve Wynn, oh, he's just for big business. Oh, he's just another big-headed Republican. Greedy. He's just another greedy corporate jet owner. He wants to keep his corporate jet, and he doesn't want to give grandma any money for her meds. Well, it's not his job to give grandma any money for meds. It's grandma's mom and dad, or daughter, son. You know what I mean. All right. Wynn, let's set the record straight about my man Steve Wynn right here and now. Wynn has donated to Vice President Joe Biden. Damn. And a mix of Democrat and Republican candidates in recent years. He describes himself as a Democrat businessman. In 2008, he gave $2,300 to Senator McCain, Obama's Republican opponent. Earlier in the cycle, he maxed out at $4,600 in donations to Biden's campaign. He supports Harry Reid, he said. He said, and I quote, "I support Democrats and Republicans," end quote. He said, "I'm telling you that the business community in this country is frightened to death of the weird political philosophy of the President of the United States. And until he's gone, everybody's going to be sitting on their thumbs." I think it's safe to say that Steve Wynn is a Democrat, y'all. And he's frightened to death. Did Tesla just write he's just chilling? Am I reading that wrong? Tesla's 747 years old. And he just wrote in the chat room that he's just chilling. And I'm not even sure that's spelled right. Huh. Okay. All right. So, Wynn went on to add, I can't stop. He went on to add, and I quote, "Obama keeps making speeches about redistribution, And maybe we ought to do something to businesses that don't invest. They're holding too much money. We haven't heard that kind of talk except from pure socialists. Everybody's afraid of the government, and there's no need to soft pedal it. It's true. It's true. End quote. When was the last time America was afraid of its government? When was the last time that businesses were afraid of its government? Do you remember? I know none of us were here. The last time we felt this way about our government was, sometime in the mid-1700s, when the King of England had his foot on the neck of the colonist, demanding taxes and taxes and taxes and more taxes. Can anybody say economic revolution? I've spoken on Blog Talk about civil unrest and revolution in this country as a result of Obama's policies. But more and more, I'm starting to amend that in my thought process to suggest that what we're really seeing is not the machinations of civil unrest, but an economic revolution of Ayn Rand proportions, where businesses basically shut down by holding on to their money and not hiring, by doing what Steve Wynn said, sitting on our thumbs until this guy is gone. Make no mistake, folks, Obama has made a terrible mess of this country. He's not good for anybody. And why my black brothers and sisters out there continue to kiss his ass, both cheeks, is beyond me. Because they're the ones faring the worst. With nearly 17% unemployment. Of depression era levels. And yet, every single day, they extol the virtues of the great deity, Barack Hussein Obama. I don't understand it. I've given up trying. This guy is bad, bad, and bad. And 2012 can't come soon enough. So, hey, thank you all for listening tonight. I really do appreciate it. Once again, Karen, Sweetie, Richard, my main man Tesla, Cougar, Billy, Beach Bum, all the guests, Doc White, just left. Oh, no, he's still here. Doc White, everybody, thank you for being here. Thank you for coming into the room. Thank you for taking time out of your busy evenings to come and listen to the show. Come back tomorrow. We're going to have more good stuff on this debt ceiling. Love you guys. I wish I could stay another 30 minutes.
Listen, children, to what story.
All right, have a great night.
That was written long ago.
Richard says,
on the mountain was the treasure buried deep beneath the stone. And the valley before, they have it for the very own. Go ahead, hate your neighbor. Go ahead and cheat a friend. Do it in the name of heaven. You've been justified in the end. There won't be any trumpets blowing. Come the judgment day on the bloody morning.
soldier either way.